If you would, turn to Psalm 1. So when I was thinking about New Year's service, I know a lot of times our themes currently are about getting involved in resolutions, and one of those resolutions being reading God's Word more. And this is a good time of year to be thinking about those things, to be setting goals, to be making resolutions, as long as we stick to them. But what I want us to see tonight from Psalm 1 is a consistency, right? And the blessing that comes from consistently being in Scripture. And not just a casual reading of Scripture, but reading Scripture as a main part of who we are. I love the Psalms. And Psalms are the type of book that you can read and read and read, and you'll never get to the depth of the Psalms. You'll never exhaust the full beauty of the Psalms. You can just read those books of the Psalms over and over again. And the same with Proverbs. I mean, you read the same one, and you learn something new every single time. So last year, ironically, I did a message on Psalm 2. So we're going to back up one this year, and we'll look at Psalm 1, which starts off with, "Blessed is the man." So what does it mean to be a blessed man? So we'll see what Psalm 1 says about it. Now, it starts off with three negatives, how not to be. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." So those three things there are how to be blessed according to the world when we really think about it, right? So the idea here of walking, standing, and sitting is what the Bible calls being of the world. You get their values, you get their ideas, your worldview, your counsel, not from the Bible, but from the world. And there's no neutral ground here. So it's not like you can take counsel from them, and that's one thing, and then you can take counsel from the Word of God, and that's another. That's not how this works. There is no neutral ground between the two, some common point that we meet, as we'll see here. God's Word says to walk in that way, right? To walk, to stand, to sit in the way of the ungodly, of the sinners, of the scornful, is to walk in darkness. Truth and righteousness come from God and from Him alone. Colossians 2:3 says, "Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And if you were looking at Colossians 2, I would emphasize the word all, right? That's all-encompassing. That's complete. All wisdom and knowledge comes from Christ. So all wisdom, all knowledge come from God. So what the world offers is lies and deceit, since they walk in darkness and stumble through life. Your mind and your heart will be fed with something. And the Bible says that the blessed man's mind and heart and soul is fed with and through the Word of God, and not through getting his, or lack of better words, we'll say worldview from the world. Now, verse 2 says, "But his delight," so notice a contrast here, starts off with those three negatives. So blessed is the man that doesn't do these things. So what does he do? Well, that tells us in verse 2, "But his delight." And the idea here of delight is his joy, his pleasure. Now keep in mind, when we're talking about reading the Word of God, right? If we're going to make a resolve, a resolution, that we're going to read the Word of God. We're going to read through the Bible. We're going to, however you want to do it, right? We're going to make this commitment that we're going to read through the Word of God. The psalmist here is telling us that one characteristic of the man that's blessed in verse 2 is that it's his delight to do so. So this isn't drudgery. This isn't something he has to force himself to do. This is who he is. This is a love. This is a passion. And when that's true of something you do, it's not drudgery to do it. And it says, okay, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." Now, the idea of law here is God's Word. They're synonymous. They're one and the same. His law is his Word. "And in his law," his Word, we can think of this as the Bible, "doth he meditate day and night." So the Bible says the blessed man loves the Word of God. He meditates on it day and night. And the idea of meditate there isn't just to think deeply about it. It's actually to speak. It's actually to mutter. It's actually to say what's on his heart, what's on his mind. It's what he says. It's what he does. It's who he is. So you can see this idea here. This isn't just a casual reading of God's Word. And you'll see a great contrast here again. The man who's blessed is the man who's walking in the light of God's Word, and the wicked man is walking in the darkness of man's word. Now verse 3 says, "And he," the blessed man, "shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Notice the idea here of being rooted and grounded, right? Being planted deep by the rivers of water. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. So again, we see a contrast here. A man rooted and grounded in God's word will bear good fruit, and it will not perish, and it will not wither like plants and trees that are rooted in soil that's not fed and it's not nurtured, that don't stand, they dry up. You think of the parable of the seeds, right? Where the seed was spread out and some landed in, three landed in not so good soil and one landed in the good soil, and that's the one that took root and grew. Well, the same is true here when we apply it to Psalm 1. Now, this doesn't, again, come from a casual reading of Scripture. This comes from a committed and deep study of God's Word. Verse 2 says that it is his delight that he meditates on God's words day and night. It's what's on his mind. It's what's in his heart. And verse 3 says, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Jonathan touched on this a little bit with the idea of prosperity, right? But that's not what the Bible's talking about here. It's not talking about prosperity, that he prospers as the world sees it. If you were to ask someone, an unbeliever, what does prosperity mean? It almost always ties back to financial gains, right? Monetary or material things are what we use to gauge any idea of prosperity. But that's not what the Bible's talking about here. The idea of prospering here doesn't mean monetary gain. It means he'll overcome. Look at the context. He'll not choose the way of the wicked. And that's what we're talking about here. There's one way to go. That's the way of the world. And there's another way to go. And that's the way of God's word. And when he goes this way, in everything he does, he'll prosper. So verse 4 says, the ungodly, they're not so, but are like chaff which the wind driveth away. So it goes without saying that when we look at the world around us, right, it appears in many cases, especially with the constant news feed that we're exposed to. And if you're on social media, it just kind of exacerbates the problem. It's just constant pessimistic, negative outlook on life, that if, for all intents and purposes, I guess, depending on the way you look at the world, it would appear as though wickedness were prevailing, that the wicked were going to win. Psalm 1 here assures us, and many other places in the Bible do as well, that the wicked will not overcome, that they won't win, that they won't prosper. That's not even the trajectory that they're on. We can take courage, as we'll see here in just a little bit, of many other places in the Bible. One in particular, one of my favorite passages in 1 Corinthians, that really reassures my heart of how we know things are going to turn out. But again, if we just look out at the world, it appears as though there's no sense of biblical justice, and any way of achieving that would be near impossible, because it appears that wickedness would be prevailing. But Psalm 1 tells us that for a time it may appear that way, but the wicked are but chaff that the wind will blow away. And no matter how much it appears that the world is prevailing over God's people, God's word assures us that Christ will be victorious. 1 Corinthians 15:24 through 27 says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. Interestingly, this is alluding to Psalm 110:1, which is the most quoted verse in the New Testament, which, I'm going to paraphrase this here because I don't have it right in front of me, is Psalm 110:1 stating that he's now sitting at the right hand of the Father and he's putting all his enemies under his feet. And he will be that way. He will reign that way until that's done. Psalm 1 verses 5 through 6 then goes on to say, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now this is where the idea of that man being blessed, right? The godly man prospering. Because it says the wicked won't stand in the judgment. They won't stand before God. They won't stand when it counts. Because sometimes we can get caught up in the idea that it looks like they're prospering now. It looks like they're the ones that won. It looks like when wicked rulers and leaders pass from this earth with no real consequence to our eyes, that any sense of justice was done for all the horrendous things that they carried out. The Bible assures us that in the judgment they will not stand, but the righteous man will. The man who's fixed and stayed on God's law, God's word. And now, again, I think I'm speaking to brothers and sisters in Christ here. I'm not saying that the man who just grabs his Bible, opens it up, and starts reading is that man. The assumption here is, right, my presupposition would be that this is a believer. We're talking about believers. The Bible reading it in and of itself isn't like some sacramental thing that saves us. That comes, that love, that desire, my argument would be, comes from first being saved and then by the Holy Spirit being in our lives gives us that passion, gives us that love, and gives us that desire. And I would hope Psalm 1 would encourage us to try to increase that desire, to flame that fire, right? Because the tendency of it would be to go out. But Psalm 1 promises us great blessing here if we were to pour our lives over Scripture. And then the verse 6 says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And that word knoweth there, it's a covenantal thing. That's a relationship that person has with the Lord. That's the way he knows him. They're in a relationship. Unlike the contrast here, right? The way of the ungodly, which shall perish. So my encouragement going into 2022 is not to think about reading God's word as something we should do as part of a routine, but as the primary means in which we know God as he has revealed himself to us. There's great blessing in being committed to the study of God's word. Psalm 1 assures us we will see fruit from that. In season, we'll see fruit. And if you look out the door right now, or out the window, which you wouldn't see anything right now, but assuming it was light, you'd look around at most trees, most plants, and you'd think most things were dead. But they're very much alive. There's a process taking place in every one of those things. I guess I'm stepping out of my expertise here, but I do know enough about horticulture to know that when things appear dead, in due season, they'll come back to life. And in that off season, there were things happening. There were things taking place that in the right season, then they bore their fruit. And so there may be times and there may be seasons when we read God's word and it feels like we aren't really growing in it. Or I hesitate to say we aren't getting much out of it. But if we're being completely honest, I think we've all maybe been there. And we have to bring ourselves back to it. Because in due season, we will bear fruit. God promises that fruit will come. So my encouragement would be, as the psalmists, is that our joy and our delight and our pleasure would be in 2022 to meditate on the Word of God, so much so that it just becomes what we think, what we say, who we are.